Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio. Andrew Bird is a multi-instrumentalist, singer, and songwriter. He's taken a different approach on his latest album, My Finest Work Yet. On this album, Andrew comments on current events, including political polarization and climate change. He hopes that this album will help influence the conversations we have.
I wanted to make one that was kind of everything that I value put into one album. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, sometimes with an album, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to flip the script or something like that. But with this one, I was like, I'm going to do my thing that I've honed over the years and just do my best version of myself that I can do. I started writing it, you know, in 2016, and they're just a reaction. They're just my reaction to being alive at this time. Whereas my previous record was a little more about up close, personal, emotional things, this one's a little more geopolitical or social in what I'm addressing.
Yeah, it's very much responding to current events.
Yeah. It took me a while to find the right vocabulary for it because current events are a tricky area to navigate in a song.
So can you talk a bit about how you went about finding the right vocabulary?
When you bring a person or a place or that's in the last 5 or 10 years, we tend to devalue the current moment. It's not history yet, you know, so, and history has weight to it, and current events just feel like a farce right now.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe in 20 years we'll look back and it'll have this sort of historical weight to it. So you look for analogs in history that are nearby that some people are familiar with that might help shine a light on what's happening now. So Catalonia 1936, or I fall back on just, you know, the classic Greek myths. Those are solid standbys.
I've read that you said that with this album, you don't know if you can change minds, but at least you can hopefully get people talking about the current events, our current situation in a different way. How do you think this album can change the conversations that people are having?
Yeah, I try to approach subjects like, instead of like the listing off data points or facts or being another talking head, I was trying to look at it like, for instance, the song Manifest, it just takes a broad view of what fossil fuels really are. There's something kind of poetic, though frightening, about the whole thing. Like, there's this thing that was once alive that dies, and some of its carbon energy is still contained, even though it's dead, and it gets compressed underground, and then millions of years later, it gets pulled out of ground and put into an engine to drive a automobile or whatever, and the vapor escapes into the atmosphere. But we're like taking that last bit of energy from that once living thing.
I'm coming to the brink of a great disaster, and just has to be near. The earth spins faster, whistles right past you, whispers death in your ear. Don't pretend you can't hear.
I feel like if I lay things out in this way, like, yeah, maybe you're not going to change any minds, but, like, can you really argue with what I'm saying? You
know? No, I can't, yeah.
I don't know. I grew up in the Midwest, not always living amongst people that I agree with, and that is to say I haven't always lived in the coastal bubbles, and, you know, I want to talk about it with people. There's, like, things we're not talking about. When I leave the States on tour, I have very open conversations, but it's become so toxic here, it's hard to talk.
I've read that you're very interested in the idea of what constitutes a moral compass. How so? Mm-hmm.
You know, like 20 years ago or so, there was talk of family values in the context of, like, you know, this idea of morality being a set thing. And now here I feel like everything's turned upside down. It's funny that maybe we'll be looking to our rock stars now for a moral compass, you know? Because there's that idea, is there morality in outer space? Mm-hmm. It's just a construct, right?
Yeah.
But you have to believe in times like these that there is a right and a wrong. Like, I didn't always feel like I had to choose sides before. But yeah. Now it feels like there's a very clear, clearly something wrong going on.
What if one day we just refuse to play with no one to hate, they'd be out of a job.
And so that's why this album has a certain urgency to it that I haven't really felt before.
The opening song on the new album, My Finest Work Yet, is called Sisyphus. Can you tell me a bit about this song?
Yeah. That's addressing this moral question in a way. You know, Sisyphus was the Greek king who got in trouble for cheating death, and he escaped from Hades, and Zeus found out and sentenced him to an eternity of pushing a rock up a hill. So it's become this kind of, you hear it a lot referenced in TV shows, and it seems to be something happening in the zeitgeist with that myth these days. I focus on the moment when Sisyphus gets to the top of that mountain and actually feels like he might have a choice. Either he's going to jump and end the struggle or let the rock roll down. And I imagine, like, who's down there when the rock rolls down? Like, is there a village that's getting destroyed, you know? He's in a quandary of, like, what's my responsibility to the community at large? I know this is not serving me as an individual, but that's when the second verse is, I'd rather fail like a mortal than flail like a god.
Sisyphus peered into the mist, a stone stole from a precipice, paused.
Sisyphus opens with whistling, and whistling, of course, is one of the recurring features in your music. It's very effective and very memorable. Why do you like to feature whistling in so many of your songs? Is there something about the oral texture of it? Or
yeah, it didn't occur to me to do it for the first three records because it's such a casual thing, and I spent 20 years and now 40 years trying to master this difficult instrument. And then to accept that the money's in whistling is a little hard to...
But it seems to be, though, because you've been hired for your whistling stylings. You were featured in the final scene of the 2011 Muppets movie, and comedian Zach Galifianakis asked you to score his TV show Baskets. So maybe an all-whistling album is in the future.
You know, at first I was resistant because it's so synonymous with whimsy, and that word's been used in connection with my music, and it bothers me. So I, especially with Sisyphus, I sought out to, like, make that melody as badass as possible, like wind in your hair. Mm-hmm. But also kind of, I also see the wind in your hair, like, triumphant as well.
Yes.
But there's melancholy in almost every melody that I write.
This is your 14th album. What kind of sound were you going for with this album?
You know, my favorite period of recording was, like, 58 to 62 jazz records that were made in that time. Mm-hmm. The Van Gelder recordings and the Verve records and small group jazz from that period. Going into, like, Nina Simone, Herbie Hancock, you know, that was my template for this sonically. It was that jazz to pop to gospel kind of thing that was going on, pre-Beatles recording. And what I love about those recordings is that you can hear the room. So I'm singing in the room with the drums, and they're 6 feet away from me, and they're getting in my microphones, and I'm getting in everyone else's microphones, and you just have to make that not sound like a mess and make it sound beautiful.
Was it a lot of trial and error?
It took us maybe 2 or 3 days to get the first song, and then when we did Bloodless Second, when that came back through the speakers, it was like, that's it. That's pretty much the rough mix from the session.
Yeah.
Just the way the drums resonate in the room on that song.
Can you tell me a bit about the song Bloodless?
I'm just talking about how there's a lot of money being made in divisiveness.
They are profiting from your worry. Selling blanks down at the DMZ.
So it was written between the election in Charlottesville. But there's a lot going on there in that song. But I felt like I had to say something, you know? It's all tendencies that have been there for centuries in civilization. It's just in the last 10 years have been amplified.
I'm keeping mine with the altruist. Putting my weight behind the dancer. I know it's hard to be an optimist when you trust least the ones who claim to have the answers. It's an uncivil war.
And when people say, oh, artists have a duty, I bristle a little bit because artists don't tend to do things out of duty, or they probably shouldn't, but if they care about what's happening around them, then that should come out in their work naturally, just mm-hmm. in an organic way.
You've written about your songwriting process, and one of the things you've talked about is the process you go through after you've discovered a new melody. Can you kind of walk us through how you develop a melody into a song?
Yeah. For instance, the melody to Sisyphus, the whistle melody, started out as the melody to Bloodless.
Interesting.
So early on, the melodies are not very faithful to any one song. And if sometimes they get snubbed, and which is what happened with Bloodless, it got kind of crowded in there and it jumped to Sisyphus and it actually worked. But actually, if you whistle that melody over Bloodless, it works just as well. And that's why an album hangs together sometimes thematically, not just lyrically, but with melodies and ideas, is that if it sounds familiar later on in the record, it's because they used to be in the same song.
Mm. Yeah, so it's one way of sort of getting kind of this unity, this through line throughout the album.
Yeah.
Do you believe that this album is your finest work yet?
Sure.
Yeah?
You know,
yeah.
I've said that before, which is part of the joke, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's every time you're about to put something out in the world, you're like, I feel very proud of it, but I thought I'd just come out and say it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Puts a lot of pressure on you for the next album, though, right? Because that's got to be finest work.
The last word in that phrase is yet.
Yet, yes.
So it sounds a bit arrogant, but then you kind of pick it apart and you're like, oh, well, it'll be tough to name the next record. That's the thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be tough. Yeah, yeah. Andrew Bird's latest album is called My Finest Work Yet. You can find out more about Andrew on our website, wpr.org/beta.
Particularly with Orange World, you know, I really felt like that was emotional realism. And if there's a devil inside it, it's just in the service of telling a true story.
Karen Russell talks about her latest short story collection, Orange World. I'm Doug Gordon. And this is Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio.